for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2007 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is Sunday afternoon, 1:15 Ladies Deliverance Service, May 27, 2007. Shirley Smith is the speaker of this service, teaching on Changing History, Changing Nations. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
From 1999 to year 2000, and moving over from one era of time to the other. Well, the Aztecs came in. They dressed just like they did back years ago. And they came in, and we're on the Zocalo there on a platform, and we were evangelizing, and they came to the Catholic Cathedral, and they were doing their rain dances and their sun dances, calling upon their gods, and because the temple is right there. And they come every 50 years to draw occult powers to operate in witchcraft and sorcery. And so they were there that year drawing powers from
the blood
Catholic Church as well as they do the temple, Aztec temple. So we were interfering with them, you know, and they didn't like it. And so we were, the first day we were out there, they began to dance their rain dance, and here come this cloud robe, black cloud rolled over the Zocalo, and this street lightning was hitting, this street lightning, and it just come a downpour. We got soaking wet, the instruments got wet, we had to go back to the orphanage where we were staying. So the next afternoon we go back out again, and here they are drumming and dancing and drumming and dancing against us and looking at us. We were not, we still could see. They were probably like from here to where that balcony is out there. And we could see each other, and they would drum and dance and drum and dance, and here come that black cloud. Oh, it was just, they rolled in right over the Zocalo. I could look out and see the street over, and it was no cloud over there. It was just right where we were. And so, and that streak lightning looked like a serpent. Just streaked across there. And so it started to sprinkle. Well, the lady who helped train me a lot in this was standing next to me. Her name is Florida Gonzalez, and she's from Spain. But she lives there in Mexico City, and she is a ex-satanic high priestess. And so when she came in to God and into salvation and into the baptism of the Holy Spirit, oh my Lord, it was look out devil, you know, because she knew all those levels and how they practiced and what they did. So she was very powerful. And so she would just jerk on me all the time. I said, boy, I've never done that. I don't know how, she said, don't you say nothing, you stand still. And she said, you do what I tell you to do. And so anyway, that day that they started this, you know, this dance and the rain started, she said, Charlie, get that. She's just like a general. She said, get that shofar and get up there and blow it. So I'm obedient. I get the shofar and I start, and I'm not good at shofars. You know, it's not a musical instrument anyway. You just blow. And my bladder was full. And I'm going, oh God, get me through this. And I'm just blowing the shofar.
Yes, yes.
And you know, and the cloud began to slowly roll back. And we saw just a few stars. And they began to drum and dance and drum and dance. And the thing rolled. It was like Elijah and the false prophets. It was amazing. I'm just saying, my mouth open. I couldn't say nothing because I know was there and the blowing was going on. And so this cloud rolled back in, and she said to me, blow it again. So I blew it, and the cloud was watching me and watching the Indians, and I'm going, oh God, help me now. I mean, we're on the, you know, it was just a warfare between God and Satan. And I'm just going to, help me be faithful in this. And so I started blowing again. And this time the clouds roll back again. And we saw the moon and some stars. They started drumming it in. Third time, it rolled right back in. Mm-hmm. And the Lord said to me, one can put 1,000 to flight and two, 10,000 to flight.
Right.
He said, call another shofar blower. Right. So I said, Janine, get up here. Hurry up. So we get up there and we begin to blow those shofars and it zipped. I mean, instantly. You could see the moon, the Milky Way, the stars, everything was clear. We had perfect weather all week long.
Oh.
All week long. So, but she had said to me, Floyd had said to me, she said, I made a warfare with Tlaloc, which is the god of rain. And she said, we're not putting up, we're not having it. We're not having it. We've already defeated him. And that's what they were trying to war. But they were there to pull up those powers for the next 50 years, the old witchcraft and occult powers. So that was just, you know, some of the experiences we've had with dealing with territorial spirits. But anyway, we were marching that week and against the spirit of death. And so when we came in on Saturday, you evangelize all week for five days, from Monday to Friday. On Saturday, Friday is Good Friday, and then Saturday is the march of glory. And this was a vision given to one of the sisters there, and it's... It was, and it's been, you know, initiated ever since then. But we did the march in the afternoon from about 1 o'clock in the afternoon to about 6 that night. We marched about 5 or 6 hours through the streets. And then we were coming to the Stokolo. And that day we had, they had made this chariot, like fires come out on the wood. I mean, they weren't the same professional. They're just these, this is what these ladies are. And they had this chariot there, and we had this big horse on the front. Somebody made a big banner of the horse over in Revelations, you know, the big white horse. It was on the front. And then behind the, and she told me, she said, Shirley, you come ride the warrior's car. I said, no, that's not my place. She said, you get on this warrior's car. I said, I'm not even Mexican. You know, this is not my place. She said, God said, get on the cart. And so I said, okay. So I got on. But I looked behind me. We were going all those hours through the streets. And right behind us was four rows of boys. It was two blocks long. Four rows. They had on red praise garments with white pants and white shirts, and they had red flags. And oh my God, they were just breaking stuff as we went, breaking stuff, breaking stuff, breaking stuff. And behind them was two blocks of girls that were four abreast with tambourines, and they were in sync. Every movement they made like this, everything was in sync. It was just incredible. And you could just feel things breaking. And we had the shofars blowing. We went through that town. It was like war in the streets, war in the heavenlies. It was incredible. So we got there that night. We had an all-night meeting. And so about 2 o'clock in the morning, some of my team had gone, and James was with us, and he'd taken some, went back to the hotel because it was late. You know, we'd all had diarrhea the night before, and I didn't even chew gum the next day because, you know, I had to march, and I thought, Lord, I don't chew gum, I don't drink, I'm not doing nothing. And so, but when it was, when we marched back into the War Memorial Monument, I think it was, we went to a different area if we left there. Well, they were playing, it was so awesome, they were playing Ancient of Days. Mm-hmm. They played that song for 2 hours straight.
Wow.
I'm telling you what, everybody danced and danced and danced and danced. And here we had had no sleep. We'd had diarrhea all night. But you know, the anointing comes.
Yeah.
It just carries you. And I danced for 2 hours while I'm there. We were just like corks bobbing on the water. And so that night, it was like an all-night thing. And so about 2 o'clock in the morning, a lot of the pastors left because they had church the next day. And so it left some room on the platform. And we had done international bride dance that night, the bride of all the nations. The girls made their bridal dresses like the nations. They got the catalog and went to the encyclopedias and got them out. And they made their dresses that represent the brides of the world, the bride of Christ. And we did some drama with that night. But after all that was over, and a lot of people from other nations were there too, and it was an international conference, and they called me up on the platform. They said, come on up here with us. Said there's some of the pastors are down now. And so my girls saw me up there, and they said, can we come up? And I said, I'll see. So I asked them, and they said, oh, yes, come on up. Come, bring them up here. And they put them right on the platform, the edge of the platform, and they said, we want these girls to dance. I was so amazed because and everybody was, but especially those who could interpret, because they knew what this lady, a prophetess came to the front and began to prophesy in Spanish and my kids didn't understand Spanish, they acted out in detail every word that she was prophesying. They don't understand Spanish, and even if they had, they could not have turned it around in their head fast enough to put the movement to it. And I noticed that Carrie Cravier was just playing the stars from her fingertips. And she was prophesying all that, and she would spin around. And everything that this woman was prophesying, she was just acting it out. All the girls were, and I'm going, wow. And so I didn't know what was going on until an interpreter came and told me. But the lady, one of the ladies there was an interpreter, and she was going, oh, my God. Oh, my God, my God, my God, my God. She said, oh, I never seen it. Oh, my God. Because she knew in Spanish and English what was going on, and she knew my girls didn't know nothing. But they're acting out everything this lady's prophesying.
Wow.
It was just amazing. And so then she came to me, and I said, oh, let's say this. When the Lord said, we are keys to unlock doors in the nations and release Kairos times and seasons, she came to me and she said, she prophesied over each one of them. And they went to the floor and she went down the floor with them. And she came over to me and she said, Moses is dead. And Joshua is on the scene. The name of my team is Joshua Generation.
Wow.
And she said, and Joshua is on the scene. And your team are keys that unlock doors in nations and release Kairos times and seasons. And only God knew that he had told me that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
And I hit the floor, of course. But it was, God is so completely, thoroughly, over and over, you know, confirmed what I'm doing with the kids and what the kids are doing with me and what God's doing with all of us. And it's just been one amazing thing after another. And when we went, and we're over here at three, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Japan was, we've done many, many places, but Japan was a very, I'll end with the Philippines, but about 2 years ago, we went to Japan. And I had never thought of going to Asia before. I never had an interest in the Asian people or culture. I mean, not that I dislike them. I just never had, my heart was never that direction. But I've gotten several words that God's going to change your path. He's going to take you in new paths. So I didn't really resist that. I just thought this was never a way I thought I'd go. But anyway, I had just come in from Spain. That was another incredible thing we did against the mythology and the Hercules and all. And it's all over in Zechariah about the sons of Greece and the sons of Israel. But anyway, we had just come in from Spain where we'd done an incredible warfare there. In the gates of that nation, which is the gate to the majority of all of our continents. And we came back in, and I always speak at World Convention every year for Sister Gwen and Shaw. And so I was speaking that night, and there was a lady in the meeting from Japan, a missionary. And as I was sharing what all we had done, and we had taken a compass, and we had taken a map, and we did a lot of prophetic things, calling different things and all the different, because we were in the gate of the continents. You know, this is where the ships all passed going to other nations. And so it was a very strategic geographical place. And so I was explaining that in that meeting. And so this lady came up to me when the meeting was over, and she said, I want you to come to Japan and bring your team. And I said, well, just put your name over there and address and stuff, and, you know, I'll contact you. She said, she caught me by the arm. She said, come here. She's real serious. She says, come here. I want to tell you. I want you to come to Japan. And I went, well, okay, put your name over there. She said, no, you don't understand. I want to tell you something. I went, okay. She said, I was sitting here tonight, and she said, 3 years ago, I was walking in front of a Buddhist temple in Japan. And she said, I've been there for many, many years, something like 20 years. And she said, I have cried out and cried out to God. And I said, God, what can we ever do to change this place? What can ever happen to change this situation of this idolatry in this nation that is so embedded in it? And God said to her then, I'm going to send a team of young people that will bring change and change history in this place.
Oh,
and she said, and tonight, God said, it's you and your team. I was 3 years getting there.
Wow.
Every year I try to go and something come up. The Gulf War, for one. And the parents said, I can't let... Americans are a high target. I cannot release my kids.
Yeah.
So I would email her and I'd say, I'm sorry, we can't come this time. So the third time around, she wasn't even sure I would show. And so she was here at Sister Gwen. She came in that year for one of the schools. And so I said, we're coming. She said, I'll believe it when I see you.
Yeah.
I said, I apologize to her. But let me tell you, a lot, and then she began to really get down and, you know, and we began to talk. She said, let me tell you though, Sister Shirley, many things have happened since 3 years ago when I invited you. I have a lot more open doors to me now that I didn't have before. I've learned a lot more about my country since then. And she said, there is a lady who had a vision, an artist, an intercessor, and God had her, it's a prophetic vision, and God told her to paint this. And she handed me the picture. And she says, this is what God's going to do in Japan. It was incredible. And we even put on our T-shirts. We made a big banner of it to make a declaration as we climbed. But she said, there is a holy mountain here that's 9,000 feet tall that I need you to climb. Mm-hmm. So get your team ready. And she said, there is where they worship their ancestors.
Mm.
And they believe that when the ancestors, if you can climb all the top of this mountain, they believe you go to heaven. Mm. If you cannot and you die, they believe that the women's spirit go in the trees as a kami spirit and the men go in the stones. And all the ancestors come there and worship the stones and worship the trees. She said, I want you to come there and do warfare. I want you to come there and I want you to go to the top and renounce. Because at the very peak up there is a Shinto shrine that they all go to worship. And so she said, so that's the assignment God has for me to give to you to come and do. And I want you to go to this Buddhist temple and I want you to pray there. This is where I saw you in a vision. And I said, okay. So anyway, the vision was like a big picture like this. And it's the map of Japan, which is exactly like a dragon. If you ever look at the map of Japan, you see its head up here. You can see the fire coming out of the nostrils. You can see the ears. You can see its tail. You can see everything. It's just clearly a dragon. And they worship the dragon there. And that's Leviathan, the serpent of the deep. So we knew what we were dealing with. We wage war with that thing because he's the serpent of the deep. And so he's always, he's king over children of pride. And Japan is well known for its pride. But anyway, it rules over the islands. And so this is the spirit we always war with. But anyway, so she said, I want to give you this picture. So this was the island in the shape of the dragon. And then all these peoples and different things she had drawn in there. And she said, the lady drew it after, you know, painted it after the Lord gave her this vision. And it had, at the top of the picture, it had the angels. You know, and Zechariah 25:7 says, God will destroy the face of the covering off the people and the veil from off the nations. And as the intercessors, women's glow is very strong there in Japan. And so as the intercessors begin to pray, the angels begin to pull that veil from off the nation. And that's in the painting where the veil's being removed from off of Japan. And then the throne of God came out in that. And then there's water, just the throne of God, and then the river of God just flowed all the way down in Japan. Well, in that waterfall coming from heaven onto Japan, Jesus is suspended in midair. Mm-hmm. And this white robe that's flowing with the glory, it's got a gold color painting of the glory and the wind of the Holy Spirit and the glory of God. And the water is splashing off of him from the throne onto him on down to Japan. Mm-hmm. And then he's got 1 foot on Japan and 1 foot in the ocean. And that's that picture I have on my chest of drawers. I looked at every night before I went to bed. Every morning I woke up and I'm praying for Japan. It really got in my spirit. Had it been 3 years before when she invited us, I would not have had that. You know, and then I really got under the burden for Japan. I really had a vision. I had many scriptures for Japan by then. And so I began to research on the internet and I found about all these martyrs who had died in Japan trying to bring the gospel in. And I learned a lot about that. I mean, suicide is the number one killer in that country. And they just commit suicide daily there. And brother, oh my goodness, Henry Gruber. You know Henry Gruber, the prayer walker? Yeah. Well, he's been in Japan many times, and God used him in phenomenal ways. And so he counseled with me before I went. And he said, Shirley, ride the train and pray over the spirit, pray against the spirit of suicide. These kids are killing themselves. If they're facing a test, they're not sure they're going to pass it. They cannot stand failure.
Right.
They will commit suicide.
Right.
Mm. Any kind of tragedy or any kind of stress in their lives that they would, because of their pride,
yeah,
that they cannot admit to failure, they will kill themselves. So it's, and they hang themselves. It's just all over that nation.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned all that in the research before I went in. Brother Henry was sharing all that and confirming those things to me. And he said, everywhere you go, you put your foot on that idol. He said, put your foot physically on that, and you curse those things. And the curses that they brought on the nation. Put your foot on those idols. He told us several things to do. So anyway, we prepared our bodies for 3 months. We jogged. We put on hiking boots and we went up and down, you know, hills and stuff. I went to the senior citizens and went to the water aerobics, and we were getting in shape. And so when we got there, you know, I was ready to hit the mountain right away, but we didn't go there first. We went to another place that was geographically the very center of Japan, another mountain, where the ley lines, you know about ley lines? Where there's a, you know about this? It's a hub. It is like the ley line goes out from the hub. It's where the strongest stronghold is. And from there to other places, the enemy will go out and build a stronghold here and one over here and here and here and here. And there is a line between here and there that has demonic activity and control. And anything in that path, in that line, is affected. If it's a school, if it's a church, you know, if it's a business, if it's a hospital, whatever, is affected by demonic spirits very strongly in that ley line. And so one of our responsibilities God has given us is to cut that thing, to break that thing, to sever it. And we, you know, he's given us many scriptures for all this. But anyway, that's the first place we went to, and we have drums. We use drums a lot. And so we have other instruments, and we have anointed flags that we use. God just, he's the one that orders all the things, our strategies. And sometimes we won't take a flag at all. We won't take a drum, just whatever he says to do, you know. And but this time he said, take all of that. And I looked at that mountain, and that lady was really, really overweight, our missionary. I thought, you know what, if she can climb it, I know I can. And that's not a cut to anybody. It's just, I thought she was not in shape, but she was. I'm telling you, she went like a goat right up that thing. And I was right behind her. I mean, she was all keyed up and wired up. And it was an awesome, you know, springboard for the rest of the things that we did. Y'all, excuse me, no offense to anybody. But anyway, we went to several other places she had lined out for us to go. Then we finally went to this mountain, and we rode, the snow had come and covered this whole mountain. We couldn't climb, so we took an air tram, went up the first 3,000. We took cable cars and went another 3,000 up as far as we could go, and we stayed at a lodge, and we climbed the last 3,000. We had been warned not to go because the trail was dangerous, and we couldn't even get a tour guide to take us. But we was on a commission. We had a mandate from God. So what are you going to do? Say, they said don't go. You know, you just do it. Right. So before I left, the Lord told me, I want you to go back to the very foundation of Japan. I want you to make yokes to break off of them. I go, I don't know what they have, dear Lord. What would I, where is it? Where's the information? And the Lord said, well, have your team begin to research. So I signed one of my boys who, his highly intelligent, you know, straight A student. His mom is a school teacher, and they both went with us, and they were really into this trip. And so they went back and got from the very beginning the eras of time, mm-hmm, those time periods in Japan, which was 12 up to this point right now of 2000. And they got all that information. But the Lord told me to take 12 yokes to break, prophetically to break off of that nation. And I'm going, what am I going to put on it? And he said, they'll be taken care of. What the research has done will go on your yoke. So James and I, they're drill. I went to the paint store, got me these paint paddles. You know, had two kind of over here, and one in the back. And we drilled holes in it and took twisties and took bolts and nuts for some of it. And finally, we give up and just use twisties. So I put all that in my suitcase. And I kept saying, I've got to tell the team, Lord, don't you say one word. not one word until I tell you to. And I'm wanting so much, so let's get together, you know, and do it, and get prepared for whatever. Get there. The Lord said, don't do it. Don't say one word. You know, you've got to get in a place that God can trust you with His secrets.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Or you can mess up big time. And so, because there's all kinds of informing spirits around.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't want to give out the strategy and the secret of the Lord. And so I'm just kind of chomping at the bits, and the Lord's not letting me do anything. And so when I got up there, we got to this lodge, the last 6,000 feet up. The Lord said, tonight is the night. So I took all my, I said, okay, we're going to go into a private room here. I'm going to, everybody bring everything you've got, all your strategies, all your scriptures, all of your whatever God's told you to bring. We're going to go in here. We're going to get the strategy for this mountain. And so I went in with the yokes, and of course we prayed over the airways and all of this, and covered ourselves with the blood, and we do all the things that, you know, that you have to do and to do things like this. And do y'all know what I'm talking about, or am I just talking over your...
I do.
You do understand? Okay. So, you know, we always take communion. We always share the strategy God has given us. We form in teams among ourselves, and God puts that together too, and twos. And so I said, so tonight is a time that I'm to share with you what this is. And so I began to explain to them out of Zechariah, when God, Zechariah 3, when God gave me all this, and Isaiah 40. One of my 17-year-olds called me one day before we ever left, and she said, oh, Miss Shirley. She said, Miss Shirley says, look what God gave me. And I said, how did you get that? She said, well, I was just reading the Bible, and she jumped off the page at me. They said, it's Isaiah 41. He said, keep silence before me, O islands, or Japan, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near. Them that speak, let us come near together to judgment. Who raised up the righteous one from the east, and Japan is the east? Who raised him up and called him? Oh, I missed. Let me tell you about the foot. How did I miss that? I just thought. Anyway, Jesus is standing on Japan, one foot on Japan, one foot on the water. And I said, why didn't you put both feet on Japan? Why didn't you put one in the water? He said, because I'm dealing with Leviathan.
Yeah, he's got his foot on there.
Yes. And hey, the other foot, you know where the other foot was?
In the Buddhist temple.
Exact where God sent us.
Right. Where?
The exact place in Japan where God put us, planted us, is right where that other foot was. Oh, we were just bowling over. So this is what this scripture is about. Who raised up the righteous man from the east and called him to his foot? That's where he was, right where his foot was in that vision. That was heavy. He said, and gave him the nations, Japan, before him, and made him rule over the kings, the demonic kings, and gave him as a dust to his sword and driven stubble to his bow. He pursued them and passed safely, even by a way he had never gone before. And then he said, and who wrought and who done it, calling the generation from the beginning, the very foundation, the beginning of Japan, calling it from the very foundation, the very first generation. And we had researched all the way back to that. It goes back before Jesus even walked this earth. Japan was there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was sharing all of this. And so I said, okay, Grant, so what do you have? And he said, we have 12 arrows, which I didn't have that confirmed in me, because I didn't do that research. I just left it up to him to research. I just made the 12 yokes like the Lord told me. Mm-hmm. And so everything was in order. And we wrote everything down, these yokes. We had a spirit-filled Baptist Japanese pastor with us. We always take the locals. We always take the native people and the missionary. And so we started out climbing this mountain. We started out at, well, we got up. They had a sunrise. You know, they worshiped the sun there, the sun worshippers. So I said, well, we need to go there. We need to pray. So this is where the holy mountain was. And so we got up at 4:30, got dressed by 5, caught a shuttle, went over there, and went. And so we took our shofars, and the Japanese were there. Oh, you can understand why they worship the sun. It's the most incredible scene when it comes over that mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, it's awesome. It's huge. And so they were there worshiping, and so we begin to sing, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, our name, Lord's name shall be praised. And we were singing quietly, and they heard us. They turned around, and they enjoyed our singing. They said, sing more. So we sang more. And then we begin to blow our shofars, and they liked the sound of that, so we kept blowing the shofars. God, just give us favor. And so we were making our decrees, and we did a lot of things there and strategy. And then we went back home, went back to bed for an hour and a half, got up, ate breakfast, and took off to climb this mountain. And so, like I say, the snow had covered it, and we just happened to grab these ski poles on the way out. Everybody had one ski pole. That was a God thing. And so we started out real wide area like this, walking and walking and going. And so we walked and walked and walked and walked, and I asked the pastor, how far is it up here, and where exactly are we going? I thought we was already at the top after 6,000 feet, you know? And he said, up there, and it was a dot in my eye. I went, you think we're going there? He said, we're going there. And I went, not unless God translates me. I don't think I'll make it.
But you did.
But I couldn't say nothing. I mean, I'm the leader of the team. What can you say?
I can't do it.
Scratch me, Shirley. So, you know, what are you going to do? So we just kept marching. And so the trail got more narrow and more narrow and more narrow until it was as wide as this chair. And right here, I wish I had, is there a single chair in here anywhere?
Yeah.
Let me see that chair. I couldn't believe God did this to me. I was so mad, I threw a fit right there on the trail. I really did. This trail was, the 18 is about this wide. Just wide enough for our feet. And this mountain right here is against my shoulder. And right here is like a mile to the bottom. And big boulders standing there.
I had a fit.
I did. I threw a fit. And I said, God, what are you doing? What are you...
You brought me up here to kill me.
Well, you know, I'm ready to go. But, you know, I'm responsible for this team.
Yeah.
And I said, what am I going to tell their parents that I'll bring them up in a place like this to be killed? Any step could be over. It's hello, Jesus, if you go over, because you'll never make it. You know, you're like a mile to the bottom. And I said, and what am I going to tell Sister Gwen that I was so irresponsible that I brought this team up here? God, what are you going to do? Oh. And I just was so mad. I said, I cannot believe you did this. I cannot. You never told me it was going to be like this. You said climb and I'm willing, but you never told me it was going to be like this. And you know, oh, I was so upset, and I finally began to get verbal. And so one of the boys from Georgia was behind me, and he's a young guy, and he's in my daughter's church. He said, Miss Shirley, it's going to be okay. I said, yeah, it's easy for you to say. You're not the leader of this team. You're not responsible for these people. I am. And I was still mad, you know. And so Emily says, the 15-year-old who got that scripture about the foot and the east, she said, oh, Miss Shirley, you were born for this day and this time. I thought I might die in this time and this day. You're born for this time. You have hind feet in high places. She said, follow, step in my steps. And she would stomp real heavy because my feet were sliding every direction. I didn't even have my boots. They make you stand in a certain place to put your shoes on.
Mm-hmm.
In there. And you have to stand in a certain place here, and you got your shoes over here, and you got their shoes up here, and you got to pack your shoes off here and put them over here, and you got to step up here and put these on. And all that hustle and bustle, everybody get off early in the morning to get there. I forgot my boots. And so I just got out there without them. And I'm always cowtail. I'm just trying to pull everybody together and me get together, you know. And so I got in the van so without the boots and didn't know it until I got there. And so the missionary said, I said, well, I'll just stay behind there, seat, and y'all go on. And she said, oh, I've got some boots. I wear a size 8 and 8. What do you wear? I said, well, 8 and a half. And so she said, well, you can take my boots. I didn't know they were old boots. And so as I'm walking, this boot comes apart. The whole sole of this boot just curled under. I mean, we got a trail like this, and it's covered with snow and ice. And so mile to the bottom, and now my boot comes apart, and I really got mad. So I said, hi, you guys, my boot come apart. They said, well, we're still going up. I'll tie it back on. So they took their thing off of their camera and tied it on and tied my boot back on. So we're going 3.5 hours we climbed straight up without stopping, straight up. It was 6.5 hours on that trail because we had to come back down it. And so we're going up, 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 and then my other soul came loose from my other boot. It was a real test. And they tied that one back on, so I flip-flopped all the way up there. Finally, we hit rock. But then it was even worse, you know, because you can't slide your feet over the rock, and that soul wanted to keep coming. Well, it was a mess. Anyway, I just wish I could have flown. You know, I've been so much. I said, why don't you just translate me up there?
Really?
But anyway, we finally got up to the top, and at the top was... the Lord had given many visions over this, and it showed some that he's going to put a cloud over that peak of that cliff so that they could not be seen. We had those big red flags, and we had shofars and all kinds of things, and so that they would be covered. There'd be a covering, a supernatural covering. And so the cloud came just like God had prophesied and had said. And when they got up there, oh, this was so precious. The pastor, which was his people and his nation, took those yokes and broke them in front of the Shinto shrine. Mm-hmm. Renounced it as works of idolatry and wickedness.
Mm-hmm.
And repented on behalf of his nation and his people. Mm-hmm. It was so precious. Mm-hmm. God uses us like whirlwinds, so we did a lot of prophetic things with whirlwinds. I've done about 4 or 5 trips since then, so I don't remember all the details of what we did on that one, but we dialogue all this stuff while we're gone. But there were just a lot of things that happened there, and so when it was finished, it was finished like that, and God said, come down quickly. Well, one of my boys from, Kentucky, was with us, and it's the first time I'd ever travel with him, and I didn't have as good a control of him as I did most of my team, because he was new to me, and he was a little aggressive, and so I said, well, Caleb, we need to go on down. He said, I'm going first, and so before I could get turned around and get in gear to go, he was already going, and he had tennis shoes on that little narrow trail, and he went down like this, and I was laughing because he looked so funny, and I was crying at the same time because I thought he'll go over the edge, and what am I going to tell his mother and his grandmother and all these people? And you know, he was just trying to get his gravity was pushing him on down. He was going so fast, and he danced all the way down that trail. I can imagine how many thousands of angels was lined up there holding us on that trail.
Right.
Lord. He danced, and so finally he saw a man on the trail, and he just bear hugged him and spun around, you know. And this man said, where are you from? He said, Kentucky. He said, that's what I thought. It was the Shinto high priest that the enemy already knew we were in his territory. He was so mad. He had that red bandana thing on, you know, and all that garb on they wear, and he was coming up a trail. He was so mad, but it was too late. Too late, because we'd already done everything, and he was too late. We met him all on the trail, and he was real, he was angry with us. So that's why God told us to hurry, because he would have come up there right in the middle of that, you know.
I bet he was bald.
And bald? He was bald.
Angry.
Oh, no, but he was bald. He was shaved, but he was bald. He had that thing around his head. Yeah, no, he was shaven bald. But he had white and thing around his waist, all that stuff they wear. And we had rocks with specific scriptures God had given us, you know, about the idolatry there and stuff that we had to put around the shrine that was up there. And we pray over all those rocks on our way down and the trees and stuff and repenting on behalf of the people. And we had another young girl, but without 21, from Japan that was with us too. They were like, they're just learning with us, you know. And so we came down, and I brought 2 shoestrings to the missionary. I said, here's what's left of your boots. Because I was barefooted before I even got into, where we ate, the lodge, yeah. But anyway, we went on then to where that Buddhist temple was. Mm-hmm. And they had brought, I'm talking about high demonic, they had brought idols and soil in from 121 high places where they have high idolatrous worship. Mm-hmm. They brought in from all over that nation and put in this one place where we were. And they had an idol to that, and a dirt there, and all their symbols and stuff. And we were able to go in and just put our foot on every one of those 121 idols that they had put all over that place. speaking scripture God had given us, pulled in those things. And so they had five dragons there that where the water came out of their mouths from a pool and fed right into the temple. And so I said, take your bottle of oil and the communion elements and go up there and put it in that pool of water before we leave. And so we did lots of strategies there. But anyway, we left there and then we went to Women's Aglow and ministered there. And God just moved powerfully among those ladies with us. And the Lord said to, let me see, before I left to go to, this was in Tokyo where they were, I went back, we went back to the missionary's church, and she took us upstairs, and the original painting of the prophetic picture that was painted was in her church. And I just, when I walked up there, it just, the presence of God just swept all over Anita and I. And I walked, I said, Anita, I want to see this original painting. And I walked up there, and as I laid my hand on that, God spoke to me. And he said, it's like the heavens opened. And he said, do you know why you're here? Why I even called you to Japan? I said, no, I don't. He said, it's the voices of the blood of the martyrs is the reason that you're here in Japan. Their blood is crying out for vengeance. And that is why I have sent you here to this nation. I have never been so honored in all of my life, not even knowing what I'm doing, for God to put us in such a position to do such a thing. And so when I got to, and God said, I'm going to raise up an army of young people in this nation that's going to take this nation. And so when I got to Women's Aglow, they said their major burden was for the youth. You know, and they'd been praying for a long time. And God spoke to me and said, this is the womb. These women are the womb that's going to birth the revival among the young people in this nation, and it's already happening. I saw it on the computer the other day when they did a report on Japan. Revivals begin to sweep that nation.
Oh, glory to God.
It's just been so awesome how God has just taken us, and we don't know nothing about nothing. We don't know what we're doing half the time. You know, because if we did, we would have a plan. I would. I'd have three plans. If one wouldn't work, I'd try the next and the next. But God just keeps all of that from me until we get there. And then everybody has a part of what we're doing. And this one shares, and this one shares, and we begin to get the picture. This is what we're to do. This is what we're to do. And it just all comes together. We went to a place just before we left where there had been a lot of kidnappings. And they kidnapped the people there on the beach, and they take them and put them in slave camps. And into they sailed them from there. And so she asked us to go there to pray, and that we couldn't just openly do that. We would have to go there and do like a picnic lunch or something just to have an excuse to be in that area. It was over a bay. And so we went, and we didn't know what we were going to do. We just knew she asked us to go, and we were going. And so we got us a lunch, and we went there, and we were all sitting around kind of talking and eating, and all of a sudden everything just, the team just formed. And we had a lady here from Oklahoma who went with us, and she got right down, we were like on bleachers going down to the ocean, so she got on the very front, and she began to do warfare with a sword. Then we had girls just fell in line right behind her with tambourines, and they began to war right behind her. And then we fell right in with flags behind that. We just had all those things. We didn't know when to use them, or, you know, what God wants to do. We just had them available. And there we were. And then we had two of the boys. Caleb, the one boy I tell you went down ahead of us, he was there. And then I have a spiritual son from Georgia that was with us that was praying a little ways from us. But I had drums going, and we had a guitar going, and then we had all these other worship instruments going. And we were just praying and warring and warring and warring and warring and coming against a lot of things that God was showing us. And then I looked and I couldn't find Kenny anywhere. And I looked and he was over there, you know, on the beach. And God spoke to him and said, put your feet. I want your feet on this soil. I want your feet in the water. So that's what he was over there doing. And so everybody, just as the warfare was ending, I was looking this direction. Everybody went, look at that, look at that. And I'm going, what was it? I missed it. What was it? They said this huge star just fell. And I went, oh, just a star. I mean, we've seen stars fall. And the Lord brought the scripture to me. I beheld Satan as lightning falling from the sky. God said the ruling spirit, the territorial spirit, has been pulled down over this place.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes.
We could have never planned that out. We could not have thought that out. We could have not prepared, you know, a message or a teaching or anything to do any of that. Because the Lord, just as you go along, God begins, you'll get bits and pieces and different instructions, and then God begins to just put it together like a puzzle, puts it together. And we'll just have the secrets of the Lord, and we'll just carry out what God is, the strategies God has given us. And then the results, we maybe see some then, it may be years or months later, whatever, before we begin to see the result of that. It's like in Fiji, it was like about 2 years later before the revival hit. You know. And then you think, is anything going to happen? Did we really do anything? Went through all of that and nearly fell off the mountain? You know, all of this, and what come of all of that? And then you hear later. And that's your reward. That's your joy later when you hear all of that. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBC.com/online.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.